Welcome to another episode of the Choose Your Soul Show. I am Hakeem.
My name is Alyssa.
And we are passionate about our purpose in providing perspective and resources to help you choose yourself and strengthen your soul. Soul is the acronym for self, optimism, understanding, legacy. So go ahead, subscribe, share, download, double click, tap, swipe right to expand the collective so we can get this growth together. Come on now. Every week, we got a special guest to help you GYM, and that's Grow Your Mind. Miss Blessa Beyond, the herbalist and artist who began her spiritual journey towards consciousness awakening in 1993, leading her to adopt a vegetarian, then vegan, then eventually raw food diet long before y'all thought it was cool. Living off the grid on California's north side, north coast, she thrives on fresh organic produce, homegrown gardens, and still developed allergies. Became intolerant of all kinds of shit, got sick as hell, and couldn't eat nothing until superfoods, which boosted her health and ignited a passion for sharing her story and services to others to make the shift towards holistic well-being. Me too, AF too. So you was eating completely clean and healthy and still got sick?
Yeah, it's true.
Damn. So what are we supposed to do?
Well, thanks for that introduction, Hakeem. That was amazing. I want to have you introduce me all the time.
I will. Tap in. Come on, dude.
I love that. Yeah. No. Well, good morning to you both. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on. And just make sure if you're listening to this and you like this conversation, that you subscribe to the show and share it to your socials. Make sure you tag us so that we can get the word out. We're so excited to have you, Blessa.
Thank you. Yes, it's been quite a journey to superfoods through all of the avenues of spirituality and soul seeking. And I'm so grateful to be where I'm at today because, yeah, I didn't know if I was going to make it there for a little bit.
We're grateful you're here too. You said you started your spiritual journey of consciousness and awakening in 1993. Can you describe that awakening?
Yeah. Well, I was born and raised Catholic, so I was raised in a home that offered me faith and understanding in God, and I had something to hold on to, so I'm really grateful for that. Not everybody has a great experience with religion, and I had my ups and downs with it, but I'm grateful that my parents gave me something. I did have an understanding, and in 1993, my uncle passed away. In a tragic car accident. And I was actually at tennis. I was at my tennis practice and I didn't know that this was happening, but I looked up at the sky at that moment and saw something in the clouds and the sky, and like things changed for me. And when I got in the car and my mom told me that my uncle had died, it was just a deep knowing and an understanding through death, through that portal of death, that there was so much more to life. And that I had been communicating with my uncle as he was crossing over to the other side. And then during that time of mourning and gathering together with family, there was a woman who came to the home who was really versed in past life regression. And so strangely enough, during that time, my cousins and I all had sessions with her and started doing past life regression. And I just became obsessed with the occult and things on the other side and death and crossing over and communicating. And so that just began my journey. And when I was thinking about this, like I used to actually, at parties, little parties when I was 13 and 14 years old, I'd like get all my friends in a room and turn out the lights. And instead of playing spin the bottle, I was like hypnotizing everyone and doing past life regression. And I just loved it. And I also had an aunt at the time who was who would let us like utilize a Ouija board, which I don't recommend. Going into that realm isn't really a good idea. You can get messages, but it's not great. But I just loved that there was something more. I wanted there to be something more, and I wanted to experience that. She was also pulling tarot cards and channeling. And so that just began a journey for me. Once I knew that there was more than what I had necessarily been told, there kind of was no turning back. So it's just been a journey forward and through ever since. And so that just began that for me. And then I started to study religions from all over the world. I studied religion in college and had the opportunity to just link up and spend time with people from all over, from all different walks of life and different belief systems, and be able to study and live with them and be with them. And it's been really a deep honor for my life.
AF.
I love that. I feel I've had similar, kind of a similar path. I'm laughing though, because in 1993, I was 3 years old. So you're a little ahead of the game with me. But a similar experience, right? Similar experience, though, when my dad passed away. And it was funny, like a little bit before he passed away in 2013, so I was 23. I had read about symbols from different symbols in general that you get when, you know, people pass away or different things happen. And so the night my dad died, I dreamt about this black crow, and it was very prevalent in my dream. And I was like, it was like kind of stunning in my sight. And then I woke up and I'm like, I know my dad died, because he was already sick. He had cancer. He died from colon cancer. And then my aunt called like an hour later after I broke up, or after I woke up, and had said he passed. I'm like, damn, that's crazy. Like, I got the sign in my dream. And I had just read a couple weeks ago that a crow means someone has passed away if you dream about it. And it's not like I ever dreamt about a crow ever in my life, or even since then. So it's just cool, the symbols that you can get if you are paying attention to the synchronicities, right? And then also in high school, I took a world religions class too. So I started to realize, like, growing up, my mom's side of the family was Catholic. I didn't really get to know my dad's side because he was in and out of jail and stuff. And so he wasn't like super present all the time, but also Catholic, like Catholicism, kind of a mouthful. But then I started learning about all these other religions, right? And I'm like, okay, there is a common denominator with everything. We all want, you know, love one another, treat each other with respect and all this. And so it's like all the journey to discovering the goodness within, essentially. And so having that worldview is very important, I think. Instead of just staying in one path, it's like you get so limited, I feel. And whatever you believe in, I love that for you. If you like it, I love it. But I just think it's like, if you're open to other ways of thinking, you will see we're all on the same journey towards the same thing. And it's like, if you only eat chocolate cupcakes, how do you know that you don't like strawberry if you've never had one, right? So it's like, take a little dip into all of it.
Hey, definitely dip your finger in the middle of them cupcakes too, because that shit in the middle be fired in the motherfucker. No, for real. But don't be playing with them Ouija boards. Don't play with them Ouija. Listen, them bad spirits will come into a curious and empty soul. Right? You can't do that. Them dreams, for real. That was, my mom grew up. I grew up. I don't know how my mom grew up. I know how. I wasn't there though. I grew up. My mom used to thank Jesus for every damn thing. Every single damn thing, for the sun, for the damn parking spot, for the short line at the store. I'd be like, well, who are you talking to? Who the hell are you thanking? You found the spot. So my damn faith was all messed up. I don't know why that was my first interpretation of her talking about Jesus was to doubt it, but she never taught me religion. I never learned it in school. And so I was always questioning. And then when I lost my brother, I was like, yep, there is no fucking Jesus. And then when I had surgery on my wisdom teeth, like 2 years later, I was holding my brother and was like talking to somebody at the same time. Somebody was talking to us, but I was holding him, but I wasn't talking. And it was like a consoling, kind of like loving, like it's okay, comfort kind of thing. And I woke up and I was high as fuck because I got my wisdom teeth pulled. I was just crying. My mom started crying, like, what? I was like, I saw Matthew. He's like, what? I was like, yeah, it's him. And then she got depressed. She's like, why don't he come see me in my sleep? I'm like, see, what am I supposed to not even tell you? Just be grateful. Now you're jealous? What kind of shit? But them dreams are real. Them dreams are real, for real. I do. That was my first time even believing that there was some. But I didn't go like, oh, that was Jesus. I was like, holy shit, what was that? I was like, let me find out. Except I buried that curiosity by emotional fucking challenges and addictions. But it was in there. Because once I decluttered my mind and had my second awakening in jail, I found that shit. And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw my brother. Hold on. Let's tap back into that. And so, you know, I don't know much about dream interpretations, but I do think you get spoken to. Pay attention to your dreams, y'all. That was my first awakening. When I saw my little brother in my dream, and I had doubts about faith before that because I didn't grow up around it. And just, you know, when you get spoken to in a vulnerable state, when you're not even in control, I feel like those come from a place of the unknown, and that's what we're searching for. So You know, it's just incredible that how our minds work, and our dreams are proof of that.
Yeah. God source energy, whatever you want to call it. All the same thing, by the way. Well, whatever you believe is, you know,
the same shit.
Like I said, one thing. You will get messages. You just have to pay attention. And it, based on your belief systems too, you will dream based on your beliefs. So you hear people saying that they dreamt that they talked to Jesus or whatever. It's because that's literally ingrained in their brain as a knowing for them personally. So just because, you know, some people dream about Jesus doesn't mean someone of a different faith wouldn't dream of some being that's, you know, equal to that idea. It's all about your beliefs. Just keep that in mind, because I don't want, you know, that's another story for another day, but just a thought to have.
So then when you got sick, you obviously got curious about what it was, and what you come to find out it's all in the gut. How does the gut, you know, impact our spirituality?
Oh my goodness, that's such a big question. Well, so I have, let me just back up just a little bit, because so part of my path also has been, you know, finding plant medicine and entheogens. That was in 1999 that I came on a plant medicine path. And so when we're working with plant medicines, it definitely is, we have to be conscious of our diet. Right. And my first use with cannabis also started to make me conscious and aware of my body, my surroundings, how I was feeling, how my environment was making me feel. I could no longer be sort of like shut off to what was happening around me. There was a knowing that came with the use of these plants that I had to honor. And it became very clear. And when we're talking about awakening, right, we're talking about the process of becoming awake, to not be asleep anymore. And so much, you know, when we come into these bodies, we kind of fall asleep. And so the idea is to really truly to wake up in this living dream. And these plants and nature and the earth helps us to do that. So when we're working with plants, there becomes that close connection. And so also in alignment with spirituality and working with different cultures and different spiritual practices, diet is always something that's a part of spirituality in some way. And so I actually had the opportunity to link up with Rastafarians here in Northern California, and surprisingly, right, a big community here because of the plant medicine that was grown here in Humboldt County. And so, through that, I started to become aware of like Italian foods and being vegan and being a raw foodist and how that was in accordance with spirituality. And so that was like really the beginning for me. And I tried everything. I just tried, you know, any way that I could to be closer to what felt like God to me, Jah, creator, source, you know, being with Native American people here and eating indigenous foods also from the Americas. And so just eating in accordance with who I was praying with, that kind of started that journey. And then fast forward to in the last like 5 years and working with plants from South America, there is really strict dietas that are followed in order to put these plants into our body. And so I started to do that as well, which is a lot of fasting, no salt, no fat, no meat, no pork, of course, no alcohol. And so I was like removing, very restrictive, taking a lot of things out of my diet and then utilizing these medicines that would also create purges in the body. So purging my liver, my kidneys, my gut, and doing a lot of cleansing and utilizing also frog medicine called Combo, which is an incredible healer and purgative as well. And so I was doing years of that. And then I became intolerant of wheat. So I became intolerant of alcohol in my 20s, peanuts in my 20s, alcohol in my 30s, and then wheat in my 40s. So it was like this progressive, just like starting to become intolerant. And as a child, I wasn't intolerant of anything. I was fine. And so it was just becoming progressive. And when I became intolerant of wheat, that was like the last straw, because I'm French and I must have croissants and baguettes. And I love wheat. It's so good. And I love grains, but I couldn't eat them anymore without getting very, very sick. And then I became intolerant of everything. And so it kind of took me back around to the very beginning. And it didn't matter all of the spiritual work that I had done or all of the searching and seeking that I had done, because here I was sick and not able to eat food, not able to put nutrition into my body. So, you know, I had done a lot of fasting as well. But the fact is that we're spiritual beings having this human experience, right? And we have to learn how to live in accordance with the earth, fire, water, air, and earth, and these elements that we're here and a part of. They are in our body. They are the terrain of our body. We are so deeply connected to what's going on with the earth and with our food. And we've all been exposed to toxic loads of chemicals in our lifetime.
Even the healthy of us, the healthiest of us, have been exposed to this.
And so what I actually learned through my spiritual journey and through my connections with these different plant medicines is that my biggest, deepest spiritual practice was learning how to be a human on this planet, living in accordance with the earth, as close as I could possibly get to it, and healing myself from this modern day malady, these modern day diseases that we are so afflicted with in these times due to the way that we're living our lives. And just now waking up to, right? There's so many of us waking up to like, hey, this isn't working anymore.
Oh, I thought you were muted. No, agree. It's wild how you start to notice. And when you do pay attention to what's happening, it's like everything becomes so scary. But all of these health issues you went through is insane. And I've also been on the plant medicine journey with just mycelium and then, you know, cannabis. I didn't really like it. It was more of like a party thing for me. But I also, I just never really got into it as like a healing medicine because it makes me overthink. I don't like the way it makes my body feel. But the mycelium and the psilocybin and mushrooms I really love. And like you said, it's like it helps you connect to the ancient wisdom that it carries through the ground of the earth. And so that can be really helpful. But it's just interesting that you then still ended up getting sick from all these things, even though you took all these journeys to have the self-discovery. And do you think it's because of the way the food is produced where we live in this country?
Absolutely. Yeah. And also because I believe that I woke up quicker to it than some of us aren't finding out that we're really, really sick until we're 60 or 70, you know, or until all of a sudden we have a heart attack and die. Like people just will drop dead of heart attacks out of nowhere, that like really healthy people. And I believe that I actually felt it in my body because I had cleansed so deeply that there was just, my body was telling me like, hey, this is not working out. And so, you know, so something had to be done. But definitely in our society here, particularly in America, but the world over, unfortunately, these chemicals have found their way into everywhere. Like I have a friend in Costa Rica, and you think Costa Rica is like one of the most amazing jungle spots on the planet, and the wildlife and the fruit is so incredible there. They're spraying glyphosate heavily in Costa Rica. That's really, really sad. So, but yeah, the production of our foods here in the United States is really what's causing most of the problems that we're seeing here today are with people's health and wellness.
Sure. The gut I'm recently new to this, y'all, but the more research I'm reading, all these mind-gut connection, doing this damn healing and health bundle that we just did, the gut is the first brain, you know, whatever you put in it impact your brain, whether it's spirituality, your decision-making, evaluating other people who are in alignment with you, making the right choice that is part of your intention, whether you're trying to save money, relocate, refocus, provide for your kids. If you are in pain, what else are you going to focus on besides the pain? If you're shitting all day or you're having shit all day and something wrong with your gut, you're going to be in pain. Something going to hurt. Your head going to hurt because you're not eating right. Your back going to hurt. Your joints going to hurt. Your sleep going to be fucked up. And you know what you can't do? Work like you want. Be with your family like you want. Do the shit outside of your obligations that make you feel fulfilled. So it's preventative action. That's what for me, fitness is the preventative action. I've just started, you know, coming along to the nutritional component. Thanks to Blessa and the world, I got like 15 documents that have been helping me shift ever since I took too much acid and started recycling and started hearing music different. I was like, wow, I was on the stars, dude. I was looking at the earth. This is crazy. I need to take care of this little thing. This thing's so little. We could dot, dot, damn. But then, you know, starting to realize what's going on with the food. So I'm like, okay, balance, because you can't avoid it. But if you can't, then at least try to give yourself the nutrients it needs on top of the bullshit. And then be selective with the bullshit. If you can't get organic, just get healthy. Get healthy conventional. If you're going to, you know, if you got to eat, you travel, or you're in a shitty neighborhood or something like that, you know?
Yeah. And back to what you said about, you know, so a lot of people don't know they're sick until they're later, or like older, because these things that are, they put into our food, it's like slow killers. So over time, it catches up with you, right? And I just had a friend, she's only 36. She just got diagnosed with colon cancer. And then she had to have surgery, and it actually spread to her pancreas and her ovaries and her liver. And, right. And she's only 36, and she had no idea. She just started feeling, and it's stage four. She just started feeling, having pains in her stomach around February. She didn't think anything of it because it wasn't like anything out of the ordinary. And so it's just like, and she works at a restaurant where, you know, they're making high greasy food, serving greasy food all day, smoke or drink or whatever, which a lot of us are, right? A lot of people smoke and drink on occasion, or, you know, in moderation, I think everything is fine, but it's just like, get yourself checked. Yeah, get yourself checked out, because you never know until you don't get checked every time you go to the doctor. You're not getting full body checks or scans for what might be going wrong. You never know what could be building up. So I actually just was having stomach issues at the beginning of June too. And bless, I want to take you up on having like a side call about this, because I would like to hear your insight. But you're right, Keem. For a week and a half, I was so, it wasn't like super painful, where I couldn't move around, but it was like, I couldn't really focus on the work I wanted to do because I was just like worried about it, or paying attention to what I was eating, or like thinking about like, where could this have came from? And then because my friend just did get diagnosed in May, I was like, could this be cancer? Like, I was freaking out. Made a doctor's appointment and it's all good. And I got, you know, ultrasounds and everything is fine. I just had a little bit of gastritis, which is like a curable thing, but it's just crazy. So if you can do the preventative actions and pay attention to what you're eating and stop buying the foods that you know could affect your health long term, start doing it now so you don't have to deal with those issues when you are older.
Like you said, we're spiritual beings in the human body. This vessel is how we experience this beautiful life for this small blip in time. So take care of it. Dang. Because you can't explore the world if you can't walk up the stairs. And there's no elevator. You're going to be stuck on level one. I'm going to see you at the tip top. Shit. He ain't living on.
No elevator in my.
That's good for you. That's good. I'm about to make a farm, though. Bless you. You was living off the grid, made your own food, provided unique perspective. That experience must have provided a unique perspective on environmental sustainability when you eventually found Perium. What the hell is Perium? Just playing. I know what it is. It's fire. Y'all better tap in. It's the superfood solution, just as healthy as growing your own food.
Yes. I mean, we definitely recommend both, or at least frequenting your farmer's market. You know, like we say Perium is the gateway drug to the farmer's market. So, you know, getting as local as possible as you can to your food source, because as food is trucked or, you know, put on a train or a boat or all of the ways that it's getting to us, the nutritional value is just declining. And food is actually being picked at a point before it's even ripe so that it can get to us in time. And so we're actually not really getting that nutritional value that we need. You know, while we're talking about like living off grid and farming and gardening, and it's a huge, huge commitment, right? Mm-hmm. And not everybody can do that. And I learned a ton about it. I love doing it. I love living in nature, like the cycles of nature. It's such a really beautiful thing, but I don't have that opportunity right now. And most people don't. I have a little garden here at my house, and I love to grow herbs. I'm an herbalist, and herbs are super hardy, and they'll really take a beating and just keep on going. Like, you cannot water them, overwater them, they can die and come back. And so I love herbs because they're just so hardy, but vegetables and fruits are not, and they require a lot of tending. And, you know, even farmers, like a lot of farmers will grow maybe one or two different crops, or maybe they're an onion farmer, or, you know, they're focusing on different crops and different seasonal things. And so even farmers have to come together as community, right? That's what a farmer's market is. We're all coming together. You've got the beekeeper who brings the honey, and you've got the person who brings the milk and the eggs. And so everybody is doing their part together. And it's really, you know, to really grow all of your own food and all of your own nutrition is quite difficult. And it takes a full commitment in your life. And some people are able to do that. I would say the majority of people are not. And so, yeah, we have superfoods that can really fill in all of those gaps so that we can make better choices. It allows us to make better choices because for me, I was hungry all the time. Like, I was never really satiated. When I look back, it's like, and I'm an athlete, right? And I'm always on the go. And so I require a lot of fuel. And even though I thought I was getting top tier fuel, even if it was organic, I was still making choices outside of that weren't the best for me because I was still needing more. And so with Purium, I don't really have to do that anymore. I have the opportunity to have my nutrition available to me at all times, no matter where I'm at.
I love Purium. And actually at the beginning of June, when I was having those stomach problems, the superfoods and like the protein and what else do I use? The greens, the aloe. I love the aloe. That was the only thing that was making me feel good all day. And the amino vitamins. Okay. So it's definitely helpful for clearing yourself out, or just even if you're having little tummy issues, like start there just so you can actually feel full. But all the benefits, I mean, y'all know more than me. I'm just here using it. So if you want to expand a little, you can go for it.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I think I'm on third month. I'm definitely going to be consuming for life, multiple reasons, but your boy got jacked. I don't know how I got bigger.
Oh, yeah.
Also, not bigger, but I lost weight, but I looked bigger, but I was still just as strong. And I was like, how the hell, you know, I asked Bless, I'm like, how did I lose fucking 15 pounds in 2 weeks and 5% body fat? I went from 9 to 5. I said, what the hell? Y'all working 9 to 5. I'm going 9 to 5 in body fat percent. Y'all working 9 to 5. I'm going, fuck. Y'all working 9 to 5. I'm going from 9 to 5% body fat. All right, shit. That's the difference between us. We are not the same. But I do enjoy everything that the superfoods do. And that's when I go mornings with superfoods, I feel a lot more capable throughout the day and clear and highly energized. But when I eat in the morning, if I eat too much, no matter what it is, it makes me feel groggy now. It never did before. I was eating the same meal for years. Quinoa, vegetables, protein. That's it. Smoothie with some protein in it. And now I've gone mornings where I just do superfoods and my day is so much more productive. I'm in a way better mood. Like, I'll go out to a bunch of places and get shut down and people are like, hell no, they're not here. And I'm just like, love this city. This is a great day out. Like, you're just grateful for more shit. Now, for real. I'm like, is this the superfoods? Me and my dad have the conversation all the time. We'll have like these moments of like gratitude or like focus or clarity. We're like, was that the superfoods? Or was that God?
God is in the superfoods.
Well, he's in the soil. That's why you gotta pay attention to your food, man. You know?
Speaking of soil, even the soil, you gotta be apprehensive about where you're buying your stuff because they're spraying the soil with the glyphosate. Can you kind of explain what that is for people who maybe don't know what that is?
So glyphosate was actually utilized to clean lines, and so it's a cleaner. And then they found that it was a biocide, an herbicide, a pesticide. So it started being sprayed in the field to rid the fields of anything that was not genetically modified. So it will kill anything that it comes into contact with that's not genetically modified. And glyphosate is the main ingredient in Roundup, which is a weed killer, which I remember as a kid, my dad just kept it in the garage. You know, he would just spray it around the driveway and, you know, around the lawn. And so as children, we're playing in that, you know, we're playing in the lawn, you're running barefoot in the grass. And so then glyphosate actually can't be washed off, scrubbed off, or cooked off. And it goes into the cells of the plant. And when we consume it, it goes into our cells and it bioaccumulates, meaning that it doesn't leave our body. It starts to bioaccumulate. And we've been exposed to, it's sprayed excessively on all of our main crops like wheat and oats and corn and soy and everything that's in our children's foods. So like all of our cereals, Cheerios has an incredible amount of glyphosate in it. Like I don't know the numbers. I can get you those materials that can tell you all of the numbers, because it's really important to know. I don't know about you guys, but I ate a lot of Cheerios as a kid.
What? I ate cereal until 2 years ago.
That was the healthy option. My parents are health conscious. You know, they did a great job. There wasn't a lot of junk food per se in my house, but they didn't know that General Mills was just pumping out these like chemically laden cereals that we were eating as children. Like one bowl of Cheerios is more glyphosate than someone should ever have. And I had a lot of it. And that's just one of the foods. So actually what it does is it accumulates in our gut and it starts to destroy the microvilli. So we have all these little hairs inside of our gut lining that are actually what break down the food and absorbs the nutrients. So it destroys those fine hairs and then it starts to create holes and tears and fissures in the gut lining. And so then we get leaky gut, which is where the particles of food are seeping into our body and into our bloodstream. And then that creates an inflammatory response because our body is like, oh, there's these foreign bodies. And so it will start our liver and our kidneys start to activate and what we call C-reactive protein, which is an anti-inflammatory. And when we get high levels of C-reactive protein, then that also creates a lot of issues in our body. Like the list kind of goes on and on. So people start to get diabetes, heart issues. Basically, all of our common day maladies that we have can be related back to the use of glyphosate, which began in the early 1980s.
And it's still used today.
So it's been banned in most countries. The United States is really taking its time with it. But like most countries in Europe are not utilizing it. I went to Portugal last summer and I could eat all the food there. They don't even have an organic section because they're like, everything is organic, right? I could eat all of the wheats. I could just eat. I never got sick. It was such a joy. And then I came back here and I did the little experiment and kept eating wheat when I got here. And it was problems for me.
See, y'all, yeah. That's why you feel like shit. Because you got leaky gut and your shit's going into your body. It should be coming out your butt.
I need to get out of here, out of this country. Oh, my God.
And inflammation. And so we know that where there's inflammation, that's where there's disease. That's where our body will start to have diseases when inflammation is present. So what we work to do, the first thing that we work to do is to reduce inflammation in the body. And when we start to reduce inflammation, we start to see that and feel incredibly better. And I would say, Hakeem, that's probably what you're feeling is the reduction of inflammation in your body.
Yeah. No, well, now I'm trying to build muscle, put muscle on. I just want to see 225 to 230.
You need more? You need more muscle?
More mass, muscle mass. Not, I don't need
you got a lot.
Definition. The definition, listen, that shit, I need to eat some more food. 5%. Last time I was at 5%, I was playing D1 and they measured. They was like, you can't practice today. You are too skinny. It is too hot out. So they made me go eat and sit out of practice. Is 5% unhealthy? I feel fine.
Never been there. No idea.
Does anybody know like what that safe percentage is? We should have somebody. We'll figure it out.
If you're listening to this and you have insight, message us.
Yeah, tap in. Yeah, that's superfoods. Y'all, I got the link. You know, we all on it. We all noticing differences, including my parents. So tap in if you want it. Free ebook. Okay.
Yeah. Well, really quick too about just you know, off-grid and homesteading. If you have the capacity, you can start small. Even if I live in a condo, I'm starting an herb garden on my little deck.
I want to.
And like Blessa said, they are resilient. You can, and then you can just keep growing and growing and growing. It's amazing. But also, if you are in a city, I'm sure they have them in small towns too, but maybe you don't have the capacity to farm yourself or grow your own stuff. We just recently learned about CSAs on another episode where you can get boxes delivered to your house every week of fresh vegetables and fruits from local farmers. And I think I was doing calculations for one in Minneapolis, and it's actually pretty cheap compared to the grocery store. So you're still getting fresh produce grown locally. And farmers markets are great too. I love them. I only have, you know, in Minnesota, we only have from like May to October to get in there and get those because of the winter. But definitely check those out in your area. CSA, just Google it. I found a lot in my area. So wherever you are, then, and you can compare the pricing on what you spend normally at the grocery store, because even the produce in the grocery store It's like they're washing stuff with chlorine and like the chicken is soaked in bleach and it's just crazy, okay? So do what you can to shop locally and resource your stuff locally as much as you can if you can't grow your own.
Research, resource, okay? Two keywords to boosting your health. Can you describe a moment when you realized conventional medicine was not addressing your health issues?
Yeah, so I actually, being an athlete, I had a number of injuries and I dislocated my shoulder when I was 16 and my parents took me to a surgeon for some reason. And you know what surgeons do? What do they recommend? Anybody know? Surgery.
Surgery. Oh, damn.
Yeah, so I had surgery at 16 when they should have sent me to physical therapy instead of, you know, doing an invasive surgery into my arm. I probably would have been fine with physical therapy. So I had my first surgery and then 6 months later injured that shoulder again in a skimboarding accident and had to have another surgery, but I waited 10 years. So I had like 40 dislocations in my shoulder. And that just started for me a long stint of anti-inflammatory drugs and painkillers. And I became very depressed. I was in so much pain. I was in chronic pain all the time. And there were times in my life where I couldn't like pick up a hairbrush to brush my hair. I got really, really terrible carpal tunnel when my daughter was baby, when I was breastfeeding. Carpal tunnel can be something that happens with women during breastfeeding, and it did for me, and it was really debilitating. And so I just was on pharmaceuticals. And I am not somebody who, you know, would think that that would be my lifestyle, but it certainly was because I couldn't function. I couldn't live without it. And so that for me was not acceptable, but I didn't have another choice. In order to live my life, I needed to rely on those things. And I'm here to say today that I don't suffer from chronic pain at all. I'm extremely active. I do doubles in the gym like every day. I'm boxing, I'm weightlifting, I'm dancing. You know, I'm a mover and a shaker. I'm on planes and trains and automobiles. And I don't use any pharmaceuticals at all. Yeah, I don't need them anymore. And I'm so grateful because once you start having one, you need the second one and the third one. And they all just all of a sudden you're leaving the pharmacy with a bag of like 12 to 13 seems to be like the pretty consistent number of if you're on pharmies, that's like what it is, you know? And I don't need any of those anymore. And just the reduction of inflammation in my body has been incredible. So, you know, I also walk a middle path. Right? We do need those things sometimes, that the heroic medicine, allopathic medicine is certainly important and we've come a long way and need that sometimes. And I'm super grateful. Like, I'll utilize it when needed, but I'm grateful I don't need it every day. Right. That's for sure.
Did you say people are on 12 pharmaceuticals at a time normally?
It can be pretty standard that like when I talk to people, my clients, you know, they're often on 10 to 13 medications, because once you have one, there's another one that you need for this symptom. And then it kind of becomes a snowball effect. There's no way out. You know, the Western medicine doesn't really have a doorway out. Once you're in it, the path is kind of just being in that until death do you part from pharmaceuticals. So they don't really have an answer. There's not a solution.
Preventative action. Have you ever had an experience, AF, where conventional medicine wasn't addressing your health issues?
Well, so just with my... Sorry to cut you off. I feel like I do this every time. To answer your question, yes. I just, at the beginning of June, when I was having those stomach issues, they gave me an anti-inflammatory because my stomach was inflamed. And so that helped for the 2 weeks, right? And so then I took the initiative during those 2 weeks to notice what I was eating and keeping a food journal and seeing when was I feeling like the fullness, because I was eating like a literally tiny little pieces of different types of breads or my son's snacks, which I buy him healthy snacks, but I think it's like something to do with the breads. But literally a tiny cookie, like the size of a quarter, was making me feel extremely bloated. I'm like, this is not normal. I literally looked like 4 months pregnant. I'm like, what is going on? And so then I took the initiative while I was on the pharmaceutical to help me understand what I was putting in my body that was making me feel that way so I could stop it. And now moving forward, I'm going to take a more holistic approach. And so it did help in that time frame, but it's not something that I want to be on moving forward, because the doctor then did re-up my subscription for it, or prescription, but I'm not going to go pick it up because I think I know what's going on now. So I think there is instances when you need it to help you, but you can also take this initiative then while you're on it to figure out what you can do to get yourself off of it. So you don't have to be on it for your lifetime.
Shit. All the drugs I done taken worked. Sometimes they work too good. Shit, I tell you that much. Mm-hmm. You ever take a drug that worked too good? Now you just looking at the TV like a motherfucker, just looking like, what am I doing? I can't sleep right now. Yep, that been me before. Don't do those. Fitness, how does that impact the healing process? Because you're an athlete, right? I mean, especially after you get injured, you know, first of all, fitness impacting your ability to recover. It's a lot easier to recover from injury, whether controllable or not, whether you're competing or not, whether you're old as hell and you step down a damn step. If you're fit and you have the mind-muscle connection, you're able to, you know, boost that recovery process. How does fitness impact your healing process?
Yeah, well, working out solves at least 50% of the problems that I think I have. And I learned that years ago. It was like, wow, I feel terrible. But then I get into the gym. It can be the hardest thing to get into the gym. That first workout, if you've been off or if you've been injured, that one's always the hardest, you know, and that can just feel insurmountable sometimes. But somehow, some way, I'd get back in the gym. My dad is an avid athlete. He's still, you know, playing tennis, mountain biker. He's way more fit than I, and his, you know, he's about to be 70, and skiing and just really staying active. And he would always be like, you got to get in the gym. Like, what's wrong with you? You know, you got to get, I see, he'd just be like, you're depressed, get in the gym. You don't like how your body feels, get in the gym. It was just like always the answer, you know.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And my dad still, he works out twice a day in his home gym, you know, lifting weights. And so thankfully I had that influence in my life. But it always cuts what I feel like I might be having a problem with just in half. So right out the gate, it's like, all right, that's cut down 50%. So I can at least think straight. I at least can start to do some problem solving about my life, or, you know, get some, it's a meditation as well. And so that's my connection, that getting into my body and connecting and meditating, is that's where I find a lot of the answers in my life, you know? So it becomes a really holistic perspective. I want to eat better. I don't want to be feeling, you know, like I ate trash and like I feel bloated. Who wants to feel bloated and go to the gym? Like that sucks. You want to feel light. You want to feel like you're like quick on your toes, right? You know? Like you can get up and get after it.
Yay, so, get your ass up.
Yeah. Well, I love it. I'm super grateful. But like I said, you know, as somebody who was injured at a really young age, and then just really, I've suffered with so many injuries. I was always rolling my ankles, just being out. So like as soon as I'd get to a point in my fitness journey, something would take me out, throw me off. And then I couldn't be in the gym, and then I'd get set back, and then I'd be on some, you know, pharmaceutical, and just like this cycle that kind of perpetuates itself. And I can say, since I've had superfoods in my life, I have had a few injuries, but they don't last. I recover from them very, very quickly, because I dislocated my shoulder back in the fall. I was down for 3 days. And I utilized frequency and I utilized superfoods. And in 3 days, I was on a plane with my guitar on my back and, you know, off to the next journey, where that would have normally set me out for like 3 months. It only was 3 days this time. So that recovery time being so much quicker, and I just haven't been dealing with injuries at all.
Superfoods make you super fit, but you got to exercise. It don't just make you super fit now. And even if fitness is in your family, you still got to do the work. For real, you don't just get that shit. I tore my knee 5 times 1 year, then I broke my ankle, fucked up my toe and my shoulder. And those are all from playing football. And just having to overcome, like you said, you think you all good shit, you might be the best one on the team, and then all of a sudden you ain't shit. And you can't even really set the example for your team. And I think that recovery also allows you to recover from other emotional, spiritual, and mental impacts and negative impacts from in your life, because you have the proof and past experiences, you have the confidence, and you have the methods, at least internally, if you can shift from, okay, I overcame these injuries that sucked, that had me depressed, and I climbed out of it with certain systems or certain methods that you put in place to get you out of bed, to get you to the physical therapist, whatever you told yourself to get over it and get after it, those same muscles and those same tools and tactics can be accessed throughout the day. And that's what I say all the time in the morning when you're overcoming those. It's the same part of the mind. You understand, it doesn't matter the environment. What's going on in here is no different. If it's, I don't want to do this, whether it's get out, recover your knee, stop eating that bullshit, another rep, go pick up your fucking son. Oh, I hope you want to do that. But if you, some moms don't, shit. When you don't want to do something, it's just, you know, the comfortability and habituality, if that's a word, habituality, spirituality, that's tight. I just made up another word, neglection and habituality. Y'all, shit, that came from somewhere. But overcoming that through injury is can help with spiritual too. I mean, AF, do you think fitness impacts a spiritual healing process as much as a physical?
Yes. Well, first of all, I broke my leg in 2020. And so ever since then with my mobility, I couldn't do like a whole, I couldn't do past a 90 degree angle with my leg for a long time because it broke right at my knee on my tibia. And so it was really hard to go back with my foot, like put my foot towards my glutes for a long time. So I really got into yoga and Pilates during that just to help with my mobility. I was never really a big workout person before that because I didn't have that guidance or inspiration in my life. My parents, and place they went to instead of the gym, they were like at the bar my whole life, like 5 days a week at the bar. So I didn't really get that gym. I didn't see that in my life, right? Until I was in sports and stuff, but it just was never important to me, I guess, or it was never shown to be important to me until I broke my leg. And then now even to this day, I started getting in the gym and like lifting weights within the last year because I started realizing I'm getting older and I want to be more fit as I'm getting older with my son. And then of course, here comes Hakeem and my social media yelling in my face every day to get in the gym. So I'm like, okay, maybe I need to get in there. And it has been helping me spiritually too, because I've noticed in the last year since I have been getting in the gym more and just doing more cardio and like HIIT workouts or whatever, when I'm in meditation and when I'm journaling and I'm having that flow with my frequency music, which I'm glad you hit that a little bit earlier. That's a whole nother episode we could do when you can join like frequency healing and physical healing. Ooh, you're going to reach high, really high levels. But because I have been working out, is I'm noticing my meditations are a lot more spiritual. I'm feeling more connected to source. I'm feeling more connected to I talk to dead people a lot. Okay. So I'm like talking to my grandparents that have passed. I talked to my dad who's passed away. And I feel like I'm getting more messages through from them since working out. So it's like it clears your body because it is the whole mind, body, soul connection, right? So the whole time I'm like sitting here with my mind and my spirit, like I'm really good there, but I wasn't doing the body part. I wasn't working out. And when I finally am connecting all three, it's like superhuman powers and it's been amazing.
Yeah. See, I found my spirituality after. I think fitness was just because I took a year off. There was one time I went to a pool party and this girl was like, damn, where'd your six pack go? I said, oh, shit. Augustine. Oh. And then I went right back to the gym. I was still partying, but I would party, sleep for like 2 hours and I'd go to the gym. I try to score. I can't lose that. And I was like, even after that year, it took me a while to get back into the routine. But shit, then it started to really develop a belief of, damn, even when I don't feel like it, why are other people's opinions? And that's where my spirituality, my curiosity, my spirituality was like, why are other people's opinions making me like choose myself? What the fuck? What happened there? I went a whole year without working out. Nobody said shit. One girl said something and now I'm up and at them. How the fuck did that? Who? Why do I? And so, you know, that was part of it, along with, you know, the dream about my brother, along with being in the cell alone, and all these things kind of you tap into different, you know, chapters of an awakening, which your whole life is one entire awakening. But as you hit these different levels, you start to realize different things. And that was another part. But I never stopped fucking working out after that. I tell you that damn much. And now since that, I really use my six pack as my measurement tool. Because the moment I start losing them bottom two, I'm like, uh-oh, what's going on? Hold up. Why I got a little fat there? I only got six. Supposed to have eight. What's going on? So I'm gonna keep that mentality for the rest of my life. So I see you when I'm 99 and I'm about to train for my centenary marathon. That's what I'm training for every day.
So we need to find that lady. We need to thank her, all of us. We can just thank her for making that comment to you, because she's the reason why we're all here today.
Save my life. Why is y'all both got kids? I don't have kids, and I want some, maybe like 10 years, but that's why I'm choosing myself now. And that's why I got to do glute day, so I keep my thrusting power at maximum capacity. Okay, so when I'm 50 and I decide to have a kid, I can still, yeah, without passing out, breaking the hip. Why is self-prioritization critical to being a good parent, y'all? Tell me, why is choosing yourself important to being a good parent? Let the people know. Because every time I say something online, people are like, oh, you must not have kids. I'm like, I don't, but it's even more important if you got kids. Lessa?
Okay.
Or
I have some input right away that just popped in my head. Just the contrast between Lessa and Maya's experience, because she saw her dad at the gym all the time working out, so it influenced her to do that growing up, where I didn't have that, so I didn't start really working out, you know, consistently until I'm in my mid-30s. And so it's like, if you are doing it, they will watch you and absorb that and start doing it. Even now when I'm working out in my room, because I do a lot of home workouts, Sebastian will come and pick up my little 3-pound weight and be like, I want to do this. I'm like, all right, let's go. And then he starts doing it with me. It's so cute. But it's like, that's imprinting in his brain, because he is only 7. So he's very impressionable still in that theta brainwave state, because you're in that brainwave state, which is the programming of the subconscious mind. So if they see you, especially in those early years, they're going to see that and make that normal in their brain and pick it up as a habit, even if they don't want to. And so it's like, also when they get older and they start playing sports and they're more active, you can keep up with them. Like, I mean, bless my mom's heart, I love her so much, but she can't even do a wall sit for 20 seconds. Okay. Like I try to get her to work out and stuff, but I mean, it's like, I would just like Keem, I want to keep up with this kid when he's older. And even if I have more, I'm getting, you know, mid-30s. If I ever have more kids, it's getting to that threshold where it's like, I'm going to be an old mom if it does happen, and I want to be able to keep up with them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely, I'm actually about to become a grandma. Like,
see that part too.
Next week. It's,
wow, congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. So my daughter's here in my home and she's about to have baby. And so I'm about to do it again. Like, you know, you have kids and then don't really think about that reality of like, we're going to do all of this again. And so in my situation, not everybody has that, but because my daughter lives here at home, you know, I'm about to have an infant in the house. And so I've actually been really upping my priorities for myself. And I know that when I had littles in the house, like when my son was born, he's 8 now, I got really overweight. I weighed quite over 200 pounds when I was pregnant with my son, my second baby. And after he was born, I had a really hard time losing that weight. It was really, really challenging. I almost died in the hospital, and it was just, it was really challenging to get well again. But what I found was I had to get up at 4:45 in the morning. I lived close to the gym, but I could go in to do team training, HIIT workouts at 5 a.m. And that's what I had to do. I had to prioritize that 5 a.m. time slot for myself, because as busy parents, once the day starts, just, I know that for me, like, I couldn't find another time to do it. Once the day was going and rolling, like, there wasn't a time. So I had to get up and I had to make myself a priority first thing. And then when I did that, I'd be home at 6. I'd have a whole hour to myself. The kids would wake up, and I would just be like cruising through my day, you know? And so I had patience, I had tolerance, I had already loved on myself and taken care of myself and fed myself. And so I was able to feed them like from a full cup, you know, and really give to them what they were needing and feel great about myself and lose the weight that I needed to lose. I think I lost like 60 pounds. And it took a lot of work and just dedication to myself. But because of that, I'm able to show up for my children, show up for my family, and be there, be here for them in a way that I couldn't have before, because I was not well, you know, and I was in pain a lot. Oh my goodness. Here it comes, actually.
Hey, yo, what's up, man? How you feeling? Fresh out the slum. Yeah, he's ripped, man. He's jacked. He must be real athletic. You look fast.
I suppose it's early for you. It's like 9 a.m., huh?
It's 9, yeah. He's supposed to be at today's camp. He's been at camp all week in the Redwood Forest. Would Joey take him out?
Ooh, lucky. I want to go.
I remember when I went to camp, my mom would take me for a week with all these freaking white kids, and I was the best one at everything. I loved it. I loved it. I got everybody's like, I want him. I'm like, yep, I'm VIP. Counselors was nice to me. They gave me extra food because I was big. I didn't have to do the polar plunge because I just said no. They was like, all right. I was like, I'm not waking up and jumping in there. I'm like, all right. Everybody's like, come on, everybody else. I'm like, that's kind of weird. Not you. Oh, the see? How you gonna take care of your dog if you can't damn get out of bed? And your cat will eat your face off if you die.
Okay, go inside. I don't know.
That hey, dogs really respond when I bark like that. They do. They be barking.
Good. That's a really good bark.
Good one.
You got it.
No, it's what you gonna do after your kid. Go to sleep with your kids. I heard that once, and it makes the most sense. Go to sleep. You want to then have a glass of wine and wind down and do your business. You're gonna be tired as hell. Wake up early. That's better for, I think, overall for sleep, too, because right when your kids go to sleep is what, like sunset? I mean, maybe not. I don't know. Y'all tell me 8 o'clock. Sunset now in the summer. But that's when we're supposed to go to sleep anyways. Why you want to take your time when your cup is empty? You need sleep. First thing first, sleep. That's if you feel tired after your day, after your job, after your kids, don't stay there trying to wind down. Go in bed and take your ass to sleep. You know, do y'all go to sleep with your kids? Ray, with your kids?
Oh, I mean, I go to sleep before him sometimes. He's like, I'm going to stay up. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to bed. And he'll come in a little after. But no, he does go to sleep around sunset. And like Blessa was saying, if you make the time in the morning, you go to sleep early, and then you have an hour or two before your kids wake up. It's the most magical time on earth. I cannot stress it enough, especially as a parent. Like, once I made that shift, I mean, I've been waking up before Sebastian, I don't know, a year and a half probably, and it's made the biggest difference. And I do not miss staying up and having wine. I'm a wine drinker, okay? I love me some wine. But I don't miss it at all, because those mornings are more special than staying up late and being tired. And then you know what you do when you're having wine? You're either like watching Netflix or doom scrolling on your phone. It's like I actually have meaningful time with myself in the morning, because I don't look at my phone right away, and I take the time to journal and reflect and listen to some really good music that makes me feel good, or you know, drinking some cacao and lighting an incense, or just sitting with myself. It's the best. I just love it so much, and I will never give it up. So if you're a parent and you're like, I don't know, you just have to try it. It's seriously the best thing ever.
That's what I say all the time. I wake up at 3 because it's, I mean, the city's cracking by 6 and then the trades get full and all this shit, all the people out. But when I moved here I started waking up at 5 easily because I was excited that I was here. So I'm like, oh shit, Lifetime, let me go over here. Oh damn, let's try to see the shop over here, let's figure out my life. Like I'm challenged, I love it, get up. And then once I got used to it here, I'm like, can I wake up earlier? Is that healthy? That was like 4:30, then it was 4. I'm like, the earlier I got up, the more peaceful I felt and the more productive I felt my day was going to be, because I had more time for error, for research, to figure out things that I wanted to know. If you wake up right when you have your obligations, even if it's like right before workout, shower, work, you still didn't figure out the shit from yesterday. You still didn't plan for tomorrow. Now you're right into, so give yourself time between around the gym, or if you're not going to the gym, I think it might be more important to take time for your mind and preparation and consumption before exercise. First things first, what you eat and what you're watching.
I do.
I do have questions from the audience.
Okay, get into it.
What's the most effective way to keep weight off during menopause?
Well, we actually just launched a new product, which I'm really excited about. It's called Menopositive.
Oh, that's tight.
Yeah, and it's a tincture, and it's in glycerin, so it's not an alcohol. It's actually in vegetable glycerin, and it is a combination of 5 different herbs that are incredibly beneficial for. You can take it actually at any time as a woman. It's beneficial except for during pregnancy and breastfeeding, but these 5 herbs together are so beneficial for balancing hormones. So the balancing of hormones, the reduction of inflammation and the balancing of hormones is actually what's going to be the most important. So I can say for myself, I'm 43. I'm not trying to have menopause anytime soon. So I'm actually doing all of the things to keep my hormones active in a way like I want to stay vibrant. I may even want to have another child. I'm not totally sure yet. So I'm really working on that actively. And I was having I was having like a lot of symptoms, I would say in the last year, of like night sweats before I would get my cycle. And that was happening consistently for months, and it was miserable. I was not enjoying myself. And through focusing on bringing down inflammation and focusing on my hormones with superfoods and actually cutting out those things that were causing issues in my life, as far as nutrition is concerned, I'm not having those symptoms at all anymore. And my weight is balanced consistently. So when we are needing to gain weight, superfoods can help us. When we need to lose weight, superfoods can help us. So really focusing on gut health, actually, you know, our gut health and our hormones is going to be the number one thing to having a long, beautiful life, aging gracefully. That's what we all want to do, right? We want to age gracefully, naturally, to be fit and happy and not have all of these symptoms that are associated with menopause are actually constructs of our modern day society and culture that we are partaking in. So it's very possible. We have a 90-day program that is incredible. It's really fast, effective, efficient way to have those benefits in your life for pre-menopause, you know, during menopause and post. Like, that is gonna get you there. Gut health and focusing on hormone balance.
Are you dealing with menopause? Go ahead, tap in to Menopositive, because everything is menopausable.
It's like you came up with that. You're about to be making commercials.
Yep, for Menopositive. All right, I'm actually curious about this. Is there a difference between men and women's guts?
Sure. I couldn't answer that exactly. I don't know. I would say that our bodies are probably more similar than we would like to admit most of the time. You know, the functionality of the human body is fairly straight across the board. Like, if you think about, you know, something being made in a factory, like, our bodies are all fairly similar. Of course, we do have differences, but as far as what our needs are, they can be fairly straight across the board, I would say, except for when it comes to hormones. But I can't answer that question exactly. I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah, I don't need to, I'm still going to choose myself and protect my gut either way, okay? That wraps it up, man. Listen, I appreciate y'all. That was fun. Grew my mind.
That was great. It's always great here. I love it here. Thank you for being our guest. We so appreciate you. And we will if you're interested in Perium, Hakeem and Blessa kind of work together. So we'll put all that information in the show notes if you want to tap into their links and get onto any of the products. They're great. 10 out of 10 recommend. I literally love them. The power greens are like, it's like a little gem. Like, I'm just in awe when I mix it. It's so pretty and good. It's like, wow, the enzymes. No. And so that will be all. The information will be below. And also, if you want to follow Blessa, we'll put her Instagram handle. Is there anything else that you have for the people that they could tap into, or is that it? Like, do you have any guides or anything? Do you? I don't know.
I do have a guide. I actually don't know if I've put it recently into my Stan store. I need to do that. So I probably make some updates, but I do. And I offer, you know, Hakeem and I both offer a lot of, we offer a lot of information and getting together with people. And that's kind of a lot of how we do that, is that this one-on-one connection, which is another thing that I love about it, is just really building community. And, you know, feel free to reach out and ask questions. We love them and really want so much to be able to share this with so many more people. It's really, really necessary in these times. So thank you both for what you're doing and for having me here. And yeah, it's been, I'm like, I don't know if it's on your screen too, but I'm like sandwiched between the two of you. And it just,
you are.
It's like, it's super cozy. So I've like really, and really enjoyed it. looking forward to when we can all be together, actually, like, really, truly in the flesh someday.
In person. I know. I want to visit everybody. Like, we need to get a travel bus and just go around travel RV and just zip around the country, because I look at an RV like every day. I'm like, this needs to happen, because I make so many connections on the internet. I'm like, damn, I need to see you in real life. So it'll happen.
Your consumption is not just about what you eat, y'all, but what we eat is what's going to impact our gut the most directly, but also it's everything around your environment and what you allow to penetrate your sensory input. So protect your peace, okay? You choose yourself. Don't conform to society. Remain authentic. choose yourself to strengthen your soul, man.
Yes. Thanks for tuning in. And again, if you're listening and you liked what you heard, please give us a rating, leave a little review. We love to see what you think. Follow us on the Instagram, Choose Your Soul Show, and tag us in your stories. And until next time, we love you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. Blessings.